Our text today comes out of Matthew 4, verses 12 through 23. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee preparing the nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And when Jesus began his public ministry, he didn't do it in a dramatic setting. There weren't any crowds pressing in yet. He hadn't performed any miracles that made him famous. There weren't any religious leaders that gathered to inspect him. What we see instead is movement, quiet and purposeful. Jesus hears that John has been arrested and he withdraws to Galilee. Now that word withdrawal can sound like retreat, but Matthew wants us to see something different. This isn't Jesus backing away from danger. This is Jesus stepping fully into his calling. The shadow of the cross already stretches across the story, and rather than turning aside, Jesus moves forward into the places where people live, work, and struggle. Galilee is not Jerusalem. It's not a center of religious power or political authority. It's a borderland mixed with Gentiles, marked by trade routes and the blending of cultures. To many in Judea, Galilee carried a reputation of being religiously suspect and spiritually thin. But Matthew reaches back to Isaiah and reminds us that this is exactly where God promised light would dawn. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. This is how God often works. He doesn't wait for perfect conditions. He doesn't wait for people with impressive credentials. He sends light into shadowed places and calls that revelation good news. And that matters because it tells us something very important about the kind of kingdom Jesus brings. God's kingdom is not built on prestige or purity tests. It does not begin with the powerful. It doesn't begin with the prepared. It begins where people are already living in their ordinary lives. Jesus starts preaching the same core message that John preached: repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Repentance here is not about shame or fear. It's about reorientation. It's about a turning, a change of direction, because something new has come near. The kingdom is not distant or abstract. It is close enough to disrupt routines and invite new ways of living. Then Matthew moves us quickly from the proclamation to the encounter. Jesus walks beside the Sea of Galilee and sees two brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew, casting their net into the lake. These men are fishermen. That means they're working men. They're tied to daily rhythms, to physical labor. They know to expect unpredictable outcomes, and they know how to live with modest means. There's no indication they are seeking Jesus. They're not praying for direction. They are doing what they have always done. And this is where Jesus meets them. And Jesus says to them, "Come and follow me. I will send you out to fish for people." He doesn't offer a detailed explanation. He doesn't outline a 5-year plan. He doesn't promise safety, success, or clarity. He offers relationship and purpose. And then he waits for their response. Matthew tells us that at once they left their nets and they followed him. And this can sound romantic if we just read through it. But we have to remember nets are not hobbies. Nets were livelihood, security, and identity. Leaving them was not impulsive spirituality. It was costly trust. Jesus does the same thing again with James and John, calling them away from their father and their boat. He's not just asking them to change their career. He is asking them to reshape their allegiance and direction. Jesus isn't recruiting volunteers to help with a project. He is calling disciples into a way of life shaped by the nearness of God's kingdom. And what stands out is that Jesus does not choose people because of what they bring to the table. He chooses them because he intends to make something of them. This is where we often misunderstand discipleship. We assume Jesus calls the qualified. We imagine that faith begins once we have enough knowledge, enough discipline, enough confidence. But Matthew refuses that story. Jesus doesn't wait for fishermen to become theologians before calling them. He doesn't require moral perfection or spiritual maturity. He calls ordinary people and begins shaping them through relationships, through presence, through purpose. The call itself is an act of grace. This matters for us because so many people quietly believe they're not the kind of people Jesus would call. They assume discipleship belongs to those with stronger faith, cleaner pasts, or clearer conviction. But the kingdom Jesus announces doesn't work that way. Grace comes first. Transformation follows. Jesus doesn't say, "Fix your life and follow me." He says, "Follow me and I will turn your life towards something larger than you imagined." Then Matthew tells us, Jesus goes throughout Galilee, teaching in synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Teaching, proclaiming, healing. Word and action belong together in Jesus' ministry. He reveals the kingdom not only by what he says, but by what he does. Bodies are restored. Lives are made whole. Hope takes visible shape. This isn't a kingdom concerned only with souls while ignoring suffering. It's a kingdom that touches real lives in real pain. Notice who receives this healing. Not the elite, not the powerful. The sick receive healing. The suffering receive healing. and the demon possessed receive healing. Those plagued by seizures and paralysis receive healing. Jesus doesn't screen people based on worthiness or understanding. He responds to need. His authority is not expressed through control, but through compassion. And this too reveals what kind of king he is. Large crowds begin to follow him from Galilee, from the Decapolis, from Jerusalem, from Judea and beyond the Jordan. People come from everywhere and are drawn to this light that is breaking into their darkness. Yes, some come out of curiosity. Some come out of desperation. Some come hoping for healing. Others come because something in Jesus' words and actions resonate deeply. Not all who follow will stay. Not all who hear the call will respond the same way. But Jesus keeps calling, teaching, healing, and moving forward. You know, at this point, discipleship looks simple. Come and follow. But Matthew won't let us mistake simplicity for ease. Following Jesus will eventually mean misunderstanding, fear, failure, and costly obedience. Peter will sink. James and John will argue about status. All of them will flee when Jesus is arrested. But Jesus doesn't revoke the call. He doesn't abandon them when they falter. Grace sustains what grace begins. And this is good news for anyone who has ever struggled to live faithfully. Discipleship is not about flawless performance. It's about faithful direction. It's about allowing Jesus to keep turning our lives toward the kingdom, even when we resist, stumble, or hesitate. The call of Jesus is not fragile. It doesn't depend on our consistency. It depends on His faithfulness. The image of fishing that Jesus uses is also worth thinking about. Fishing is patient work. It requires attentiveness, endurance, and trust that what you cannot see may still be present beneath the surface. Fishing involves waiting as much as acting. When Jesus tells these fishermen they will fish for people, He's not asking them to manipulate them or coerce them. He is inviting them into a ministry of presence, witness, and patience. They will learn to cast the net of grace wide and then trust God with the results. And that's where we often find discipleship uncomfortable. We prefer to measure outcomes. We want quick results with visible success. But the kingdom of Jesus grows in quieter ways. Lives turn slowly. Faith matures unevenly. Transformation happens through relationship more than force. Following Jesus means learning to trust God's work in others, even when the progress feels slow. Jesus calls people into community, not isolation. He doesn't call Peter alone and leave him there. He gathers his disciples together, shaping them as a community, learning to live under the reign of God. Discipleship is personal, but it is never private. The kingdom takes shape among people who learn to forgive, serve, and walk together in grace. This challenges a deeply individualistic understanding of faith. We may think of following Jesus as a personal spiritual journey, but Matthew presents it as a shared way of life. The call of Christ draws us into relationships that shape us and stretch us. and sometimes frustrate us. And that too is part of how Jesus turns ordinary lives toward kingdom purpose. Ordinary lives aren't glamorous. Most days are filled with routines and responsibilities and quiet faithfulness. Discipleship often unfolds in workplaces, kitchens, hospital rooms, and conversations no one else sees. The call of Christ does not pull us out of ordinary life as much as it reshapes how we live within it. Nets may change form, but the act of following happens in the midst of everyday life. This text reveals that discipleship is not an interruption of life, but a redirection of it. Jesus doesn't erase who these fishermen are. He reorients their skills, their experiences, and their relationships towards God's purposes. Loved ones, the same is true for us. Christ doesn't call us to become someone else entirely. He calls us to become who we were created to be, shaped by grace and directed toward love. And for those of us who feel unqualified or uncertain, Jesus reveals himself not by demanding readiness, but by extending invitation. The kingdom draws near before we understand it. Grace reaches us before we can explain it. And discipleship begins not with mastery, but with trust. Come and follow. The rest will unfold along the way. This text invites us to listen not as spectators, but as participants. The call of Christ did not end on the shores of Galilee. It continues to sound wherever ordinary lives intersect with extraordinary grace. The question is not whether we are worthy of the call. The question is whether we are willing to let Jesus turn our lives toward his kingdom purposes. And that turning may involve leaving something behind. It may mean loosening our grip on security, identity, our expectations that no longer fit the life Christ is shaping. It may mean stepping into uncertainty with trust rather than control. But the call always comes with promise. Follow me. I will make something new of your life. I will teach you what love looks like under the reign of God. Christ is revealed in his call to discipleship. He reveals who God is by how he calls, by who he calls, and what he does with ordinary lives. He reveals a kingdom marked by grace before achievement, relationship before instruction, and purpose rooted in love. And he reveals that the light still shines in the darkness, drawing people forward one step at a time. May we hear that call again, not as pressure, but as invitation. May we trust that grace is already at work, shaping us even now. And may we follow not because we have it all together, but because the kingdom has come near and Jesus walks ahead of us, turning ordinary lives toward God's redeeming purpose. Bow your heads with me, please. Faithful God, we thank you for meeting us here, for speaking into our ordinary lives with extraordinary grace. As we leave this place of space of worship, help us carry your call with us into our homes, into our work, and into our relationships. When we are tempted to return to old patterns that keep us from trusting you, remind us that your kingdom has come near. Give us eyes to see where you are already at work and hearts willing to join you there. Teach us to follow Jesus, not just with our words, but with our choices, with our compassion, with our lives. Walk with us in the days ahead, and keep turning us toward your purposes of love and hope. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.